Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Stacy Hafner. Hey, Stacy.
Hey.
We are now in part three of our series on building a simple Unity game.
Mm-hmm.
We are building Super Space Shooter, and we promised this would be a three-part episode, three-part series. We're going to try to do it in three parts, but if we have to go to a fourth, we will go to a fourth. And then I will go back and change the show descriptions. or what I've done in the past, because I wanted to keep something a three-parter, I had parts 3A and 3B.
Ah, there you go. Then you're not lying.
Then I'm not lying. So we'll see. This will either be a 3 or a 4 or a 3A and B. We'll know in about an hour. So in parts 1 and 2, we started building this game where you have a player ship and enemy ships, and they shoot at each other, and eventually ships die if they've been hit long enough, which we haven't quite gotten to that part yet.
Yep.
But we've got the player ship, we've got the enemy ship, we've got lasers, and we had refactored the ship so that the player ship and the enemy ship inherit from the ship object.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a couple issues in the code.
We had a couple
unexpected behaviors in the code last time, and then we ran out of battery life and time, and we had to stop. So,
but I brought my power cord.
Excellent.
This time, so
that won't happen again. So let's just run the game and refresh where we're at, and then.
Yep. All right. So, where we were at, actually, it's better if we look at this screen. So we were at a problem with the lasers not properly showing up. There's actually two bugs that we ended up introducing. One of them, we ended up moving past. But the first thing you can see with these little audio things that are popping up, that's basically telling me right here, this is where it's spawning.
Those are lasers.
Those are the lasers. They had the audio attached to them, so that's
right.
How I could see them. But if we flew over here, you can't quite see it, I think, because that icon's there. So if you look really closely, you can see like a trail of red.
Okay.
So
oh, yeah, there
in the
it
way.
Is.
Yeah. So it's a little hard to see, especially because we're working with like, there we go.
There we go.
Because we're working with 2D.
Clever lasers. They disguise themselves
they
as audio symbols. Wow.
That's something you can only get with my games, apparently. No, so because of it being a 2D sprite, it makes it so, oops, I hit the wrong button there. It makes it so from certain angles, you have a harder time seeing it. Anyway, so that's the first bug.
And I'm no game expert, but I suspect the fact that they're created and never disappear is not something we'd want to leave in production.
That is correct. And you know what's actually interesting?
I hope that didn't sound too snarky.
No. You're totally right. It would.
Awesome host of a Channel 9 show who snarks and makes fun of his guests. Excellent.
It's great.
That's why my show's popular.
But you are 100% correct. This would eventually take down the performance of our game because we would have all of that. And not only are there so many being created, but they're still constantly moving.
Right.
Which would be bad. What's interesting is I'm pretty sure where we had left off, and I haven't touched this project since we left off, so I don't really know why it's not doing it. But we were actually bouncing off stuff. I know what happened.
Yeah.
So when we left off on part two, we were bouncing off of things.
Yes.
I think what happened was when you're in this mode, when you're basically in like debug mode and you're running in it, remember if you go through and you change properties that are tied to things in here, and then you stop the game, those properties don't get saved.
Right.
So I think we were tweaking them. That's why it was behaving slightly different.
Yep.
But we're just going to fix this problem altogether.
Okay.
We're just going to solve it. The other problem that we had was if you look.
So do you have a tip? So if you're changing properties during debug and none of them get saved, what's your best practice for that?
Eventually, you'll just remember because you lose stuff so much.
Okay.
But what you can do...
Do you write it down? Do you take screen captures?
I do sometimes. If I start going down some rabbit hole...
Writing it down is very last century. But.
If I go down a rabbit hole where I'm changing a lot of properties, I'll take a screenshot to go back. I'm trying to remember. There's a way... I'll follow up after because I don't remember how. But basically what you can do, because what'll get me the most with this is when you enter it, everything really looks the same. The only way that you know that you're sitting in it is really these buttons, right? If you don't have too much going on the screen. And so you can go through, change it, and then you're like, crap, I was in it the whole time. So what I have on my normal one is I actually changed the color that gets applied to this the overall Unity skin to be blue. And then that way, I have like an entire window that's a visual reminder that I'm sitting in that mode. And then, because I'll end up tweaking properties, forget I'm in the mode, and then like I have to go do it when I really meant to like tweak the properties just flat out. So I can't remember where I said it because I did it once and then I never had to do it again. Okay. But I can send that to you and then we can somehow like surface it up to folks so they can see.
Cool.
That's pretty helpful. Okay, so the other bug that we had was with this laser. And sometimes you see it pop up, it's right about there. So it's not, it wasn't doing it. And I thought that it had something to do with my my properties that I was feeding with it. And then I realized I wrote the code wrong in one of the spots. Oh. I left off just one section that is actually impacting this entire thing. So those are the two bugs that we'll look at first, and then we'll continue on. Okay, so the first one I actually want to fix is the one that's happening to the player, because that is, it's in ship, which means it actually also affects the enemy bug. So we need to get that one fixed, and then that's going to cascade to the enemy. So if we pop into ship, it was right in this. Oh no, maybe it was in player. Oh dear, now I don't remember where the bug was. Oh, it was in laser, because it's, I have it marked. I should just look where I marked it. It was in ship, I was right. Yeah, it is right here. Okay, so it was this code here. I have position, and actually what I needed to do was tell it vector3.forward, and then times distance laser forward. So it was really that vector3.forward positioning.
And again, that moves the laser forward relative to the ship or the gun, whichever it belongs to, right?
Yeah, so look at this again, this entire, I guess, line of code. So instantiate's creating a copy. Remember, we're not creating the original, but it's a copy. We passed in what it is that we want to do. And then this whole chunk of code that's kind of rather long is setting its position where it spawns. And so what we're doing is we're taking transform.position is the position of the ship, because that's where this script lives, is on the player ship or enemy ship, whichever ship it lives on. So we're taking its position, we're adding forward, which when we had debugged, we saw that that's a vector three, so it's gonna have an X, Y, and Z coordinate system, if you will, that it's gonna do, and it's basically gonna be a one, but that's gonna be enough to move us forward where we're not gonna see this happen. And that code is actually going to multiply against our distance, which is ultimately what we were missing.
Okay.
And then this is setting its distance right or left, essentially, if we're providing a positive or a negative number. And then this part here is where we move to the rotation, which we're just feeding in value. And this is actually part of the enemy laser's problem that it's having. So if we save this and go back to Unity, and again, I didn't need to stop it, but force of habit. We went the wrong direction. So we're going up.
And we're going up.
Yeah, which is interesting. Part of that, so part of it is we had distance forward originally was set to 8 or 10. I don't know why I stopped that. Sorry again. It's network games. It gets you in a habit. But if we set the distance properly, we can see that it's happening. So we'd gone 10, which is actually quite a bit.
10
is what it was. Because I kept tweaking it. I'd assumed I wrote my code right, which is always a really silly assumption when you're doing game development, or any development, I guess. Anyway, but that kind of fixes it. But we still have the enemy lasers still behaving a little bit off. So we need to fix that. And like I said, what we just did will help. But one of the things I had noticed that I did... So I did take a look at this in advance, and I saw the problems pretty fast. The enemy laser, I never checked enemy weapon, so it wasn't providing the right set of code. So to refresh everyone's memory, laser had the notion of a certain rotation, and basically had the notion of behaving a certain way, depending on who was shooting it, which had to play into direction. So we didn't have that property set, or that Boolean set. So that was the first one. The other one is, if we go to the enemy, it's very similar to what we had. There
distance
you are.
Forward is
distance
10.
Forward is 10. So again, I was tweaking it because that code was wrong. And so it was kind of messing with it. So what it really should be is negative 0.8. Again, because we're going a different direction, so we want to be negative.
Right.
And then the other thing is the rotation was off a little bit. So there's actually quite a bit of problems with that. It's funny how just one mistake on code completely cascaded down.
Yeah.
On it. So you just have to kind of be weary. Oh, anyway, there we go. So if we take the scene view, we pop on over. And for those of you watching, actually, if you click a game object, any game object, and you hit the F button, it'll automatically zoom you in.
Okay.
So click on something and hit F, and it'll bring you to where you need to go. So what we can see is it on the screen, it looks like it's going right through the player.
They're still bouncing off things.
They are. We haven't set that up. But what I want to show you is...
Which could be part of the game.
That'd be a weird component of the game. But yeah, we could go that way.
It'd be interesting. You think you're so cool? These things, if you don't get hit by them, you got to watch for the rebound.
Actually, that's an interesting effect. That could be really fun. You can tell, actually, it looks like performance is already starting to slow down. Because we have so many that are sitting here. So, I mean, that's a pretty, I guess, a pretty good example of being careful with things like that. But what I wanted to show is you can actually see how it goes straight, and then it kind of bounces down, and then it keeps going. It is colliding. We don't have any code to tell it what to do when it collides, which is what we'll write here in a second. But it looks like none of that is happening.
What's
here.
What's it colliding with?
It's colliding with. So if we look at, that's player. So if we look at player, we had a circular, a sphere collider, and you can see it's hitting the bottom of it.
Okay, so we did have the sphere collider, right.
Right. So we...
And bouncing off. So right now, it's kind of like a space shield.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it just bounces right off.
Yeah.
Yes, so we had set up the game objects to be ready to basically accept whatever it is that we wanted to have as our behavior when it collides, but we never set the laser, which is what's actually colliding with it, we never told it what to do when that happens.
There's no... Yeah, so there's no event that says... On collide, do something.
Do something.
Essentially.
Well, there's nothing. There's an event that exists within Unity. There's no event in our code.
right. There is an event, but we don't have a handler for it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I like coming back to standard programming techniques for this because it helps me understand.
That's totally fine. Sometimes I get so engulfed in Unity that I don't know. I get like used to the Unity terminology and talking about it in that world. Like I said, I mean, I control D on like every program. Works in PowerPoint, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, fun fact.
I did not know that.
I didn't either until the other day when I tried it.
On purpose accident. Or no. Accidentally?
It was totally on accident. I was like, yes! I'm so happy right now. Okay, so what we need to do is we need to add that section of the on the laser to know what happens when it collides.
Yes.
And so Unity has a few that you could technically work with. It should have done on trigger. No, it's on collision. I always get, I don't know why, on collision and on trigger. On trigger, not so much, but on collision, the syntax for it is like my nemesis. on trigger used to be, but I actually force myself to continue to write something completely out until I remember it. So I normally won't use this until it's committed to memory, but I wanted to show it off. So you notice we've got a couple. We've got collision enter 2D. You just want to use whichever one is the type of game you're working with, I should reword that differently. You want to use whichever one corresponds with the collider that's on the object. We used a 3D collider, which means we would want to use any of the ones that aren't noted with 2D. So you have enter, which just basically means an object has gone and entered the collider, or the collision, I should say. I'm sorry, I keep mixing my words up there. You have one on exit, so it would have exited, and then you have one that's on stay.
Stay. So in order to get something to stay, you'd have to stop its movement?
Not necessarily. So this is going to happen. So think about a big box that you have. And you have an object that starts. I'll do it this way. You have a big box that starts. And you have an object that started here. Robert's our object. And you enter our box, but you have a long way to go.
Okay.
That stay would be as you're in it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's everything that happens in between enter and exit.
Yeah, that was a really good way. Much simpler way to put that.
Okay.
Yes.
it's stay implies not movement, right?
I mean,
stay.
Dog,
the
stay.
The dog then moves. That's not correct. Stay doesn't mean... Start from here and end up there, mm-hmm. right? state kind of means.
Yeah, and so the terminology is a little weird. I think I've done it really for collision, but there's on trigger is the other one, which so a collision you can see, right? You see that sphere, and when the laser goes at it, it goes down and then around it because it's colliding. If you had that set to a trigger, which is just a Boolean on that same object or component that we have, it would have gone right through it.
Okay.
Instead of going underneath it. And so the trigger one is actually the one that I end up using a lot more. I don't really know why. It's just, it for me, it makes sense in a lot of my scenarios. But this one is there. Anyway, so enter is the one that we want.
Yep.
All right, so if we go here, we're going to do a couple checks. We're going to go enemy weapon. So we want to, what happens is going to vary depending on what it is that we've hit. And so for the enemy weapon, and I did that twice, sorry.
If it's not the enemy weapon. Sorry, so this is the player.
Collision is what I want. So, yes, you know what, let me, I tend to mess up when I write code, so let me write this real quick, and then I will walk through exactly what it is that it's doing. So all of this is kind of familiar, or should be, because we're getting a component, we've seen that. We're getting it off of the collision, and the collision is essentially a reference to whatever object the laser has collided with.
Mm-hmm.
And calculate hit damage. Okay, so I'll walk through this one real quick, and then I'll type out the other one for the enemy. Okay, so basically what we're saying is if it's not an enemy weapon, so if it's not an enemy weapon, it's the player's laser.
Yep,
is what we're assuming. And this is really a safety net. If you were to have multiple players in the game, this would be more important. But basically, we had set the tag on the object, and what we're doing, so collision is a reference to whatever this is collided with.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting the game object, which also allows us to get that tag that we set, and we're just checking to make sure that it's an enemy. So if it's the player's weapon and this is a known enemy, let's do some stuff.
But aren't we also, when it hits the bumper at the end of the background.
Yeah, we're going to cover that too.
Is that colliding with something?
Yep.
And you're going to use the same code?
Not this line.
Not this, okay.
Yeah. So this is only for what happens if we hit the enemy. We'll add what happens when we hit the outer skirts, the barriers, also in the same section because it is colliding. It's just, we would never trigger this because it's not going to be tagged as an enemy. And the reason it's not tagged as an enemy is because, or that we have it separated, I guess I should say, is because we're getting the enemy component, and that doesn't apply or exist on our barriers at all.
Right.
And so we wouldn't, like, calculating hit. Like, this whole line would just basically be completely irrelevant.
Yep.
And what we're going to end up doing is we're going to do the reverse for the player. Again, these are partially safety nets because... I don't know how the player would shoot itself if we've written the code properly, but you never know. People play. do things
in
differently.
In my version of the game where the laser goes around the world and can hit you from behind.
It's entirely possible.
In version two of this.
In version two of this. When I had originally written this game, I was shooting myself, which is also partly probably why this had happened. It was because I was working through the mechanics of spawning the laser, and the laser was spawning a little bit behind, so it was hitting that collider, and I was actually taking myself out. My real kind of process for creating a game just tends to be fairly scattered. it's probably pretty interesting.
You can add random misfires, right? The laser misfired and blew me up.
Yeah, you could easily take that out and just say, you know what,
don't
fly in front of your ammo, silly goose. Anyway, so basically what we're doing is we're flipping it around. Same thing, it is the enemy weapon and it is a player, and we're going to calculate damage on the player, whereas here we're doing it. Now, the other thing that we want to do is we actually just want to destroy the laser, right? So if we do, I think we might have looked at this before, but it's... that game object. So it's just this destroy command is all we have to do. So the reason I don't have any code for the barrier is because it doesn't matter if we hit the enemy, if we hit the player, or we hit the barrier. Either way, we're destroying
it. Got it. All
right. So this right here, this line, will cover that scenario for us now.
Yep. Perfect.
Makes sense? Let's see it actually work, hopefully. See, it's actually, it's colliding with something. I know what this is. Because I've seen it before, I think. Yeah, we can see it's colliding right away. So if we put a breakpoint here, we attach it to Unity. We should hit it. We hit it. So we can see what it's colliding with.
Oh.
By hovering over game object, it's colliding with itself. Is what happening. So we can see the name.
Yeah.
Or the base thing. There should actually be. Where are you? Oh, wait, it's right here. No, where is the name should have been. In there. Well, we can see it up here under base. Oh, there it is. Yeah, so we can see that what the object is that the laser is colliding with is itself. Not itself. It's not colliding with the laser. It's colliding with the enemy.
Colliding with the ship that fired it.
Right. How? Basically what we were just saying would happen. And so what we can see, it's too close is what's happening. When it spawns, I think. That's my guess, but we'll see. This is not the problem I thought it was. So if we just debug through, we can see it's skipping through this because it's not hitting any of our checks, but it's destroying itself.
Okay.
Right. So, that's just going to keep going. okay. So easy thing to check if I'm not crazy. Negative one. Sorry. Forgot we're going the opposite direction. See? So basically what's happening is 0.8 is too close to its collider.
I see. Okay.
And so if we bump it out a little bit ahead, or technically we could just bring the collider in and make it smaller if we wanted. You have really either choice. I'm not going to mess with the collider because this is really the easier route. Let's try 0.9. Yeah, so 0.9 is too close too. So we'll just go with 1, and it's a little bit distant. You could play with that. I don't think that this problem exists for the one that people can get off of GitHub, but if it does, it's a good learning method to go and play around with and see how you would fix. But I'm actually glad that happened. That totally proved my point of adding that catch in there. But the other thing is we notice, okay, so it's hitting the player. We're shooting each other. Let's try it. The enemy should, see? See? Things aren't saved, negative one. And we'll actually save the scene.
Do you know if there's if that's something that they are looking into changing?
That's a good question. No,
just not happen often enough.
I don't know. There's certainly we can see it disabling. There's certainly plenty of times where it's useful to have, where like I've gone in more on the UI side of things, which we'll look at here in a bit. But where I've gone in and I've made changes, and then I just like. I didn't even know where I started anymore, and I've gone so far down my change rabbit hole that like stopping and starting is good because it resets it. And I personally would rather have the ability to go back and reset it than the fact that gets me all the time. But again, setting the background color helps a lot in the memory of I'm in debug mode, for me at least.
There should at least be a revert, and I would ask for revert and save method.
That would be nice.
So if you make a bunch and you're happy with them, you click save. Or you could revert.
Right. Yeah, it would be nice. I don't remember what I was going to say now. I'm on no food today, so I'm a little loopy. I apologize. I got so distracted, I forgot to eat.
That never happens to me.
okay, so the next thing, now that we have all the stuff spawning, the next thing we want to do is spawning. See what I mean about not eating? It's not a good idea. So we've got everything shooting.
First, or we want to be able to just... So we're going to spawn the enemy because the enemy keeps appearing, whether or not it's damaged, right? So how does the game work, actually? let's back up a step. Let's design the game. So is there only one enemy until you destroy it, or are there bunches of enemies appearing?
Yeah, so the way that we're writing this game is spawning is going to be on a rotation. So we're actually going to build a second enemy, which will be very quick because we can just duplicate the one that we have.
Right.
And then we're going to spawn randomly, one or the other.
Okay.
And it'll just be on a random rotation between, I think it's like probably 3 to 10 seconds or something. Every 3 to 10 seconds, depending on what random thing we popped up, a new enemy's going to spawn. So if you're not killing them off, the next thing you know is you're going to have some huge swarm.
Okay.
And so the first thing that we need to do is actually set up that. And what the other thing that we don't want is we don't want them to pop out of the same spot. So we're actually going to have three different set spawn points, and we're going to randomly pick a spawn point, randomly pick an enemy, and then for the next rotation of spawn, we're going to randomly pick a duration to wait for it. And then that'll kind of create this slightly, I guess, organic thing. You know what I noticed the enemy isn't doing? He wasn't moving, was he? Oh, he was. Was he?
No.
No, he's not.
He's not moving.
Why is he not moving?
Lazy.
We did. You lazy. We set that
supposed
up.
Supposed to be moving.
Right? Did we get? Did that ever get working in part two? Or did I disabled it, didn't I? I wonder if I disabled it. Nav mesh stuff is set.
It's clearly not working, so.
But it was at one. I did.
Set the next position.
Yeah, that's one. I was supposed to. So the way that I think I remember this was supposed to be done is we were going to invoke that method.
Okay.
And I think, so basically, because you saw it pop up, like it came onto the screen and then it stopped.
Right.
So we just need to, it needs to constantly be reevaluating where the player is and then moving at it. And we just didn't have the line of code that had him moving around.
Because it's going to follow the player as the player moves, right?
Yeah. It's going to go after it, but it's going to, remember, it's going to...
Yeah, because it's based on player transform position.
Yes, yes. We do have it, so it's going to follow the player, but remember, it's going to grab like a random position in it.
Yep.
So it's going to look a little bit more organic, or natural, I guess I should say. I think that'll fix it.
There we go.
There we go. So you can see him. He's kind of jittery, but a little slow. So this will get a lot more hectic when... we have spawning going on, and they're kind of constantly coming at you. So let's do that. Okay, so we're going to create an empty game object, and we're going to call this just game manager. And I'm going to move scene into be the main thing, because we're going to mess with this stuff. It should be easier. Okay, so if we position ourselves here, here's my mouse. So 0, 0, 0. I just like to, again, it's organization for me. My husband would be very happy that I'm doing half the stuff that I'm doing right now. Some of it he very adamantly trained me on. More like the whole number thing. That drove him crazy for a long time because I was just like, whatever. He was like, no, whole numbers, they're important. We'll call this spawn, spawn one. So what I'm basically doing is I'm just kind of setting up empty game objects that really the only, their purpose is so that we can get their position. I do this a fair amount, especially if I'm doing like template generation for like a level where I know, say that I have a set of like game objects that I know are gonna make up an environment, but maybe I wanna randomize where those objects are, how they spawn. I'll end up doing kind of spawn points or set locations that are saving the position. And what makes it easy by doing it that instead of doing it in Code, technically you could just feed it like a list of vector threes. Like, it's the same thing. But this, for me, is kind of more of a visual thing, so I can work with it. And then I don't necessarily have to tweak the positioning. So we'll have a reference to these in a list, actually. And if we ever want to go and tweak the position, we don't have to go crack open the code and try and figure out where it's at. We can just pop open
here. So these are objects that are going to have the ability to spawn a ship?
No, these are objects that are going to provide us with the position of where the ship wants to spawn.
Okay.
We are actually going to handle the spawning in a game manager class, and that's what's going to do all of that.
Okay.
I'm just setting the positions, which are here. So if we, again, if we kind of pop up, here, but we can see, and this is well off the screen. So what we might have is a little bit of a problem with it picking up navigation. Oops, I wasn't doing whole numbers. Picking up navigation, I don't think we will, but if we do, we'll just move it down a bit and see if it fixes it. Okay, so with our initial kind of template position set up, the next thing is to create a script. And because I wanted this session to focus more on the UI and start to dive into how we would set that up, I actually just created the script, and we're going to walk through the code, and that way you don't have to watch me type. So I'm just going to add the script here. I'm not going to touch setting the properties because I want to walk through it first. And game manager script. So here it is. So first thing to note is we have, so we have a reference to a Boolean spawn enemies, and this is for testing purposes. So we can just turn on and off spawning if we need to tweak anything. We'll just end up leaving that true probably for this session, but it was just an easy way to kind of do that. The next thing is we need a reference to the player game object because we're going to manipulate it in terms of turning it, toggling it on and off, because game manager's purpose is to handle spawning, it's to handle starting, the part of starting the game, because the UI is going to help us with that. Okay. And so we want it to have a reference to the player object to kind of setting the active or doing the set active will basically, the game object will exist in the world, but it's basically setting like the visible property, and then any when you do set like the property and have it hide, it'll stop like your scripts and stuff from running, which is what we want. We're going to have a reference, a list, so you can see you can actually create a list of game objects, and in the UI we can add those game objects to the list, so we can still manipulate lists in the Unity UI, which is quite nice. But we're going to have the enemy prefabs, which we'll go create a second one in a bit. And then we're going to have our three spawn points sitting in the list as well. So those are our references. This here is actually something that I wanted to show, but I didn't get a chance to in our other parts. So what you can do to help organize your code in the UI is you can add that heading thing. See, it's, it doesn't really have any purpose other than it's going to help you organize. And there's a few other kind of neat tricks that you can do. For our ship class, it would have been really nice because we could have split stuff up. So I wanted to show off that. Just adding kind of this header spawning, or header and then a name, essentially, will kind of let you organize a little bit better.
Cool.
Okay, so if we jump into start, the first thing that happens, so remember, start's going to execute the first time the game object is active, or enabled, or created, however you want to think about it. We're going to make sure the player is visible is true. We're going to get the player script, and we're going to set its hit points to be 30. Technically, you don't have to hard code this. I just did. And then if spawn enemies is true, then we're going to call a method. If it's not true, then that's the end, and we really won't get to play anything at all.
When would it be false?
So you can, we could toggle the bool in the UI to stop spawning if we needed to test something with the player.
Oh, okay.
So the reason this
so that's
got...
more for development?
Testing. Okay. So the reason I ended up doing this was because, again, I do stuff really weird. I think I had the player or the enemy spawning before I had like the player shooting in my testing. And they kept, they had better mechanics than the player, so they were actually killing me off before I could test anything.
Okay.
And so I just, it was annoying. So I put that in, and I just thought that it was a good example to kind of keep in. Okay, so basically under spawn enemy, what we're doing is we have this line. We're just getting a random range between zero, which zero, and then whatever our count of our list is. So that's going to allow us to, we're going to only have two in this case, but that'll allow us to scale up the enemies as much as we would want. Look like you have a question.
Why is there a random on Unity Engine? Why wouldn't we just use the random in the .NET framework.
You know, I'm not sure if there's too much of a difference between it. I've just gotten in the habit of Unity's one.
Probably because... Well, you can script Unity in more than just C#.
You can.
So are there scripting languages that Unity supports that don't have random features?
It supports JavaScript. I don't know if JavaScript has random, I would assume. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, it's just this is more of a force of habit for me than anything. But technically, yes, you
presumably
could just
they do the same thing.
You could. Presumably, but worth researching. I would assume so, though. Just to double check. I don't know why I started doing that. That's just one of those old habits. Anyway, but we're doing the same thing for spawn location. And so, again, basically by writing it this way, we can scale up our enemies and our spawn locations as much as we want. And this will just automatically adjust to it. We're doing instantiate, which everyone should be pretty familiar with at this point. We're just pulling out whatever the random enemy was, whatever the random spawn location was. And when we do the spawn location, you can see we're just getting its position. And that's all the sole purpose of the spawn location is. And then we're just setting, remember, quaternion.identity is just 000. It's just resetting rotation to make sure that it's coming out properly. And then what we're doing is we're invoking spawn enemy. And again, we're doing another random so that each time the enemy goes to spawn, it's different in terms of timing. Between this takes it in seconds, a float in seconds, so it's basically between 3 seconds to 10 seconds. So toggle player is setting our player to active or false depending on what's fed into it. And then we have Endgame, which is going to set the player to false. So we'll build a little bit off of this when the UI is there, because we're going to hook different behavior, slightly different behavior in the end game to manipulate the UI and reset the player stuff.
So the spawn points and the enemy prefabs get set where?
There you go. Fantastic question.
Thank you.
They're going to get set on here.
Okay.
So before we do that, let's get one more enemy created. So we've got this one down here. What did I set his health to? Oh, I keep looking. So the reason I keep looking here is because I'm very, very...
Yeah, you should move your scripts down to the bottom. That's what I do.
That's exactly. Scripts go at the bottom. Everything else goes above for me. So it has to go down.
I learned that trick a while ago, like 2 weeks ago.
Did I say it 2 weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can tell it really bugs me. Anyway, okay, so I set this to 20, which means that it's going to take 2 hits, which is what I want. I want to create a weaker one. So we'll duplicate, Control-D, and I'm going to call this one enemy small. And then we're going to give it 10 hit points instead of 20. And then the image is going to shift. So actually, we're going to want to zoom in because I have to shift the gun position for the entire thing. Move it over a bit. It's got a very tall collider. That's the nav mesh stuff, not the collider. That's one. Okay, so if we go to ship, I like the green one. We're going to go with the green one. The gun. So yeah, we just have to. Do I like the green one?
Is the ship a different size? Is that why we're moving the gun?
Yeah, it's smaller.
Okay. Hence the name.
Hence the name. And it has less health.
Right.
Okay, so we're kind of have that position. Okay, and then what we want to do is create a prefab off of this. So I've done this a couple times, so I want to call it out. So if you mess with a prefab and you want to keep the settings that you've changed on that prefab, you would click after you mess with it in the game world, you'd click this apply button, and that'll apply it to the prefab, which means anything you create after you've done that is going to have those settings. I don't want to do that because I want to create a brand new prefab off of this, so I just need to drag and drop it in, and it's going to separate out so that this prefab is no longer editing the other prefab, essentially. Okay. And so the apply button I've gotten myself so many times on like meaning to create a brand new one and accidentally hitting the apply button on just autopilot. Okay, so the thing that we do need to check a bit. I'm going to separate these out. That gun is just horribly positioned. Both of them are, but We'll let it slide. But laser-wise, I don't know how it's going to... That's kind of far, but it's still coming out straight, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. We don't want these to start anymore. Okay, so coming back here, we're going to...
Did you just do?
Oh, I just deleted them off the world. We're going to spawn them, so we don't need them sitting there anymore.
Okay.
I was just leaving them on for testing, but the second that we enter like the spawning world, there's just no point in them
being
there.
What's that error? Is that important? Unassigned reference exception?
No. Okay. We're going to fix it here. It's basically what it's saying is game manager went to go run. We hadn't filled this stuff in yet.
Got it.
So that's fine. We knew that would happen. So I'm going to turn spawn enemies on. Player prefab is this guy here. So we're going to drag and drop. And then this is a neat little trick.
The only way to set that by dragging and dropping, you can't.
You can click this button and it'll pop it up.
There we go.
So either way that works for you.
Can you type it?
In here you can, but you can't type it here.
Got it. All right.
Okay, so the other neat little trick that you have to be careful with, because sometimes this will get you, is there's this little lock button. I can't tell. I don't think I clicked it yet. No.
Now it's locked.
Now it's locked. Okay. Sometimes the screen's just a little difficult to make out. Okay, so if you lock it, that means if you click off, that object's going to stay. This is nice if you want to drag and drop multiple objects into something, because the second that you go to try and click multiple, it's going to pull this inspector window up for whatever you've clicked. So if you lock it in place, and then you click on enemy and enemy small, which are our two enemy ones, we can drag. And if you drag it right here, you can see I have an icon that shifted. If I drag it to size, I have the no icon.
Mm-hmm.
If I drop it here, it's going to increase the size and it's going to add it. I could manually do this, right? So I could add 3. It's going to create a copy of the last one. Mm-hmm. I could click this, and then I could keep doing it
Got it.
We're not going to do that because we only have two. But if we go back to two, it's going to do that same thing. So for spawn points, we can do the same thing. And go to this, go to all three, and then drag and drop.
Okay.
In, and then we can just make sure. Oops. Yeah, that's fine. Just make sure that you you uncheck the debug or the lock, because sometimes I've been like, why is this not working? I'll like look at the properties and start messing with the wrong one. So it's another kind of gotcha. Okay, so we should spawn, I think, now without needing anything else. And there he is. Came in guns blazing. Oh, this isn't far enough for the player, which is fine. So they can't kill me right now.
Okay.
We do seem to have...
They can't kill you. Cool.
They can't. Should get.
Where's the enemy? I mean, the small.
That's what I was wondering. I just want to make sure he was going to spawn and it wasn't just like a coincidence. He's very small.
And they spawn off the screen?
I do have them spawning off the screen. That's just because of where...
That's what you set up.
Okay, yeah. So right. If we... So
there, you can see them shooting at you before you can see them.
Yeah. So if we brought this in, it's also a little bit of a... A little bit because the environment is so much bigger than what the screen is actually seeing. So even moving that up, he started up a little bit. But I think I was okay with this because you're flying through space.
Right.
Right? You might not necessarily be able to see them, but they're coming at you. But you can always tweak things like that pretty easily.
And then you could set this up so that the enemy can destroy itself or can destroy other enemy ships.
You could if you wanted to. Yeah,
because they've got colliders. You can just check to see.
You could just avoid checking to see what the enemy's... What I found, if you don't move very much, I mean, I'd be dead normally pretty quick. You can see they're kind of fighting for positioning. They would have shot each other pretty quick by now.
Right.
But if you're moving and you don't have quite so many... and you can shoot them, which we can't right now.
They're relentless.
this type of behavior you just don't really see. You wouldn't last long enough. It takes three hits to take you out.
Right.
So it's not necessarily something to worry about. But
so is the player shooting properly?
Yeah, it's the same thing that happened, where it's shooting properly, but it's hitting its own collider.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Come on. Come on, bring it. I'm assuming the sound is working. Yeah, so this should take, that's one. Kind of avoid. There you go.
All right.
So you can see that we can at least kill the enemies off. Player can't die. Right now you're in god mode, apparently. All right, so we have the game object. We've gone through the game manager. We actually can work now with the player to make it die off, which is pretty easy. So if we pop into the player, we originally had... Oops, I scrolled up. We originally had a method called calculate hit on the ship, which is going to do some of its own stuff that we want shared across both, but we do want to check for the players. So if the hit points are less than or equal to zero, then we're going to do... this doesn't have a reference to Game Manager, does it? It doesn't. Click... I keep hitting the wrong buttons. Public. Oh. What did I do to you? Oh, I did. Where are you? Sorry, got a little. I wonder why it's not letting me. Oh, God. Yes. This will get you.
Scripts. Okay.
This will get you. So a lot of what Unity will do won't sit in a namespace. It depends on how you've created your script. I created this actually on a different machine. And the way that I had created it, it added the namespace on its own. But if you look, none of my other ones do because of how these got created originally. Yep. So sometimes it'll classify it. Sometimes it won't. It's the first thing to check. If it does, we'll kind of move on. But something to just keep in mind. Okay, so then we'll go public game manager. Or actually, we'll name it differently. Game. Not the greatest names.
Game Manager.
But it works. Okay. So we want to call end game on it. So basically, we're saying, okay, if we've hit less than or equal to 0 points, then we just lost the game. And remember, end game is just right now toggling the player to be false. So it's just going to disable, it looks like you died, essentially. And that's it. But on player, we need to make sure that we've referenced this. So again, to kind of answer your question, interesting. Ah, it's weird. I wonder why I couldn't find it. It should have.
Should it be under assets?
No, it's, well, we're in the scene. We're not in the assets. Oh. So it should have been there.
Oh.
I don't know. I normally just drag and drop. I was just going a slightly different path. So either a bug or designed, I guess. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's let him shoot us three times. Should be pretty easy. Pew, pew, pew. Okay. So we could kill off the players or the enemy.
So did that end the game?
It will visually end. Yes, it called the code to end it. That's how the player got disabled.
Okay.
Visually,
but
we're not.
The game doesn't appear to be over.
Yeah. That's where the UI is going to come into play.
So we said at the beginning that we were going to just do three parts, and we recorded part three. It's really long. So we're going to stop here and pick it up in what will now be part four.